Thank you very much. Well, good morning, and thank you for being here this morning. And I hope that you're doing well. Last week, I had shared the importance of God's Word being our foundation, and the importance of God's Word being the authority in our lives. And Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." We learned last week that the root of the problem in our world today is that the Bible is not the authority in our world. It's not. You know, I would question a lot of things. In all honesty, books I read and people that I follow, do you understand China is more of a Christian nation than the United States today? They cherish the Word of God. In our country, the Word of God is not the authority. It's not the authority in our world. In all honesty, when we encounter the world, what I see is the world wants God and His Word out. They don't want that authority in their lives. Yet, the beautiful thing is, Christians, at least most Christians, want God in our world. I mean, we want God to change the world in which we live, right? I mean, we want God to be the authority in our country. But as I've thought about this and thought about this past week, how does this happen? I went to this Christian meeting this past week. Several of us did. Several of our brothers in our Bible study went to this Christian meeting this past Tuesday, and it was a good meeting. It was a great meeting. The message that was given by the main speaker was really good, but something had me seeking God as I left there that night. As I was heading home, I just couldn't get a statement that was said to me, said to us. I couldn't get it out of my head. And one of the ladies that was there, and I don't remember her name, but I know she was running for some Indiana State Senate seat, I believe. And she was talking about a bill that is going to hit the House floor and be voted on in the coming weeks. She was passionate about this. She was passionate about this bill and wanted everyone to contact their representatives to show their approval. The bill that she was so passionate about was she wanted the Ten Commandments back in school. She was even okay, as she stated, she was even okay if they put it up in the corner of the library. Now, I mean, as long as those Ten Commandments were in the building, it was okay. Now, I'm all for the Ten Commandments being displayed. But that night, I had to ask myself, God, what good is it to put a plaque on a wall of the Ten Commandments? Do we expect change to happen through something that predominantly becomes decorations in most of the places that they're hanging? Maybe they're hanging in your house. You'd probably be, if I asked you if you had the Ten Commandments hanging in your house, you might be a little reserved to put your hand up right now. Where is he going with this? The reality is, God's Word's not the authority in our lives. God's Word on a plaque does not bring change in a school. I'm sorry. It does not. I mean, if we expect something to happen that is literally a decoration, I mean, the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall of a school or on the courthouse lawn or in our homes doesn't mean that God is in those places. It does not. God isn't on a plaque. He is not. Now, don't get me wrong. The Ten Commandments are vitally important in an unbelieving world. It is, because the Ten Commandments is a great reminder of God's law and how we have broken it and our need for Jesus. But God's Word's pretty clear, right? I mean, how is someone going to hear the Word unless they're told? They're certainly not going to just read it on a wall and go, "Oh yeah, God is everything." If we come to an understanding, I get it, if we come to an understanding that we have broken one of God's laws, one of His commandments, one of those Ten Commandments, that means we are a sinner, and it means that we are in need of being saved. And yes, we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, the Ten Commandments, God's Word, causes us to realize that when we fall short of God's expectations, it leads us to realizing our need for Jesus. Yet we live in a time, my friends, we live in a time where crosses are nothing but jewelry pieces. Grandma's old Bible is a reminder of the life she lived as it sits on your shelf collecting dust. And the Ten Commandments, my friends, is a battle that most people don't even know why. You see, the cross around my neck is a reminder every day of what Christ has done for me. And it is a reminder that I need to die to myself every single day. Grandma would be really happy. Grandma would be really happy if you read that old dusty Bible of hers and didn't just leave it laying on the shelf. It would warm her heart to know that you didn't just throw it on the shelf, that you're actually reading that dusty Bible of hers. And the Ten Commandments, when shared with the unbelieving world to show them that they have fallen short of God's glory, would certainly lead people to their Savior rather than being a decoration on a wall. Which leads to what I believe God wants me to share with you today. The first thing I would ask you to write down is this: God's Word is living and active. God's Word is living and active. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says this: "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Now, there's a lot in that verse. There is a lot in one verse of the Bible. The first thing it is that the Word of God is alive. Do you believe that this morning? That the Word of God is alive. It is the air I breathe, right? It's the air I breathe. I'm desperate for you, God. I'm desperate and I'm lost without you. You want to know? You want to know what looks like desperation? Someone digging, can't wait to dig into God's Word every day. To find out, what do you want me to do, God? We live in a world, I'm telling you, maybe I got a chip on my shoulder this morning. I don't know. But my friends, we live in a world where we do what we want to do and we want God to bless it. We do. You want to know why that is? It's because people aren't getting to know God through His Word. Because if you're in His Word, it is alive. The Word is alive. Open up the Word. You're going to be convicted. Guaranteed. Guaranteed that life you're living that God doesn't like, you're going to be convicted. You're going to have a direction in your life that God wants you to live. But that's not what we want, is it? No, we want God to bless everything that we do. God, you know what? I just want to go on my path. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And hey, God, can you bless me? I got news for you. You're not going to find that in His Word. And that's probably the reason why many people, Christians, I might add, aren't in His Word. Because it will change the way they live. It'll change what they do. They'll start standing up whenever people go against God's Word on Sunday morning, right? Or during the week. They'll start standing up. Christians need to start standing up in the conviction of God's Word. Why? Because it is the air you breathe, right? Because it is what leads to life, my friends. Not your paycheck, not your job, not your customers, not anything else in this life. No, for a Christian, the Word of God is everything. If you want to live a life that pleases God, you need to be in His Word. And He isn't just a genie in a bottle that says, oh, hey, God, just bless me. Bless me as I do what I want to do when I want to do it. No, church, you need to understand the Word of God is alive. It is alive. The Word of God is not just a collection of words. It is not. It is not a collection of words from God, not at all. The Word of God is not just a good tool for communicating ideas through sermons. It's, you know, the Word of God just isn't for pastors. Oh, you know what? We got to come up with a good sermon this morning. So, hey, how about we get into the Word of God? That's not what the Word of God is. It's not a tool for communicating ideas through sermons, devotions, books, etc. No, my friends, the Word of God is living. Do you understand what that means? It's living, it is life-changing, and it is active as it works in us, right? Do you feel the Word of God working in you this morning? If you don't, then I think you need a come to Jesus moment. You see, the Word of God, we're told in Hebrews 4:12, is a double-edged sword. You see, I mean, I don't know how you can't see this. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the hearts. That's what God's Word said. God's Word reveals to us who we are and who we are not. That's what God's Word does. God's Word penetrates to the core of our moral and spiritual lives, right? God's Word, it reveals to us our real motives in life. You know, when you open up the Word of God, you start to see, man, I'm living for John, and I'm not living for God. That's what the Word of God does. And maybe that's the reason why we don't open it. You see, the reality is if we are left to on our own, we are destined to do the wrong thing. More the reason we need God's Word in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Psalm 119:11 says this, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding or keeping God's Word in your heart is a deterrent to sin. It is. It really is. Knowing this should be enough. Knowing this, right? Knowing that God's Word, it causes me to go on His path. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough to inspire us to make storing up God's Word in our hearts a priority? Isn't it? I mean, really, we're told that the Word of God divides. We understand that we're two people, right? We're two people. We are flesh and we are spirit. Okay? One day this flesh I'm gonna lay down, it's not going with me. And I'm praising God that it's not. For a lot of reasons. But we are two different people right now. We struggle with the flesh, right? Do you? Maybe I'm the only one. You don't struggle with your flesh? You don't struggle with sin? You don't struggle with temptation? Maybe I just needed to preach to myself in my bedroom today. We're two different people. We understand that the Word of God divides. It needs to divide, right? It divides. It penetrates. That's what God's Word says. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. I need that. I need that. You know, God's Word doesn't just bring division in our lives to bring division. That's not the point. It brings division that is needed in our lives so that we can finish the race of faith strong. To bring glory to Him, right? To bring glory to Him. I got news for you. If my flesh is what's ruling my life, I'm not glorifying God, and you are not either. You aren't, as good as you might think you are. When your flesh is the reason you live, your flesh is the reason you do everything that you do, I'm guaranteeing you right now, because I've lived it, you are not living a life that's pleasing to God. But when the Word of God is in you, living and active, penetrating, separating soul, soul and spirit, right? Joints and marrow, and I'm following Him, that's when I can bring glory to His name. You see, too many believers fail to hear and pay attention to God's Word, and therefore they rob themselves of God's blessings. That's the reality this morning. You see, church, it takes diligence to mature spiritually into the men and women, right, that God wants us to be. You know, believers need to apply God's Word to their lives faithfully. Every day. Not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday for an hour and a half. It's like, yeah, hey man, I feel really good about myself. I went to church. It's not what God wants. Oh, God wants you to be in church. But it should be as a response to what He is doing to your life, in your life all week long, right? It's like, yeah, that Pastor Johnny really rubbed me the wrong way that day. I'm not going back. You're not here because of me, amen? If you are, then your heart isn't right. You are here in a response of what God has done in your life this week. Has God done good things in your life this week? You're here to worship Him, amen? And maybe in the process you get a mediocre message. We need to apply God's Word to our lives faithfully. We also understand that the Word of God brings healing and it brings freedom. You see, through the conviction of God's Word and then us aligning our lives up to God's Word, you will experience healing and you will experience freedom like no other. Would anybody this morning love to be freed from the shackles of this world? Amen. Yeah, right. You know where that starts? The Word of God. Jesus is the one that came and He paid it all. Amen? He did. He paid it all. And then God gave us His beautiful Word so that we can be reminded every single day of the freedom that we have in Him. The freedom that we have in Him. Do you believe that this morning? I think too often we avoid God's Word because we do not want to feel bad about the lives that we're living. I know that's me. There's been so many times when it's like, God, I'm just going to get up and I'm just going to dive into the work that You have for me because I don't want to look at the mirror of Your Word because I know that it's going to convict me and it's going to make me feel bad. The greatest thing that could happen to us is that we feel bad. Because when we feel bad, it brings change, right? Or it should. It brings healing. It brings freedom. I'm here today to tell you that there is no other way to God's healing and freedom than through the active living word that He has given us. And that word is living inside of you. If you're a born-again believer, that word is living inside of you. Why do you keep hindering it? Why do you keep stifling it? The word wants to grow in you. Do you know how it grows in you? It isn't because one day you decided to get baptized, or it wasn't one day that you decided to believe in Jesus. That was the beginning. No, there's a lot of people that I believe that have believed in Jesus and they have not grown not one bit from that point. Why? Because they're not in the Word. The Word of God is living and active. It changes the way you live, right? It changes the way you do things. It changes your path. I'm here to tell you that God's Word is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it will penetrate in every part of your life. It will judge your thoughts and your attitudes. Why does it do that? So that we can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, I mean, over the past several years, months, whatever, my own life, looking at myself in the mirror, hearing people say things to me like, you know, me and God have an understanding, or hey, me and God, this is the way I do things and God's good with it and all these things. I got news for you. No, the only understanding of God is in His Word. And if you're not in His Word, then you don't understand God. You don't understand Him. You don't. I would question whether you know Him or not if you're not in His Word. I don't believe you can know Him without being in His Word. God's Word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it will penetrate every part of your life so that you will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Church, God's Word wants to lead you. God's Word wants to lead you to spiritual maturity. I mean, God wants to help you reach all your full potential of your faith. You ever just feel like, man, you know, this just, man, it just isn't what I thought it was going to be. Man, I really thought God had something great for me. The reality is, you don't know what God has for you because you're not in His Word. His Word isn't the authority in your life. No, you're the authority in your life. God's Word isn't the foundation in your life. Right? This is a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? It really is. Trust me, I just went through it for 7 days. You see, spiritual maturity is what God's Word wants to lead us to. He wants to help us come to our full potential. He wants us to become more like Christ, right? I mean, you know that. You know that. You believe that. Amen? Amen. I mean, God's Word is given to us, and we are Christians. Anybody team Jesus this morning? Yes. Okay. All right. Just making sure I'm talking to the right crowd. Then the goal is to be more like Christ. I think there's this idea out in our world that this whole coming to be a Christian thing was all about the plethora of things that I'm going to get. The blessings. You know what? I'll check off that box as long as he gets me that paycheck. Bring me that sale. Bring me that person, right? That's not the goal of the Word of God. The goal of the Word of God, my friends, is that you become more like Christ. And you start to live your life as though He is number one, and you are not. See, you want to be able to endure everything that's coming down the pike here in 2026, don't you? You don't know what it is. You don't know what's coming. God does. God does, and He is ready and willing to prepare you for what's coming. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they just wait until it happens. And then, well, I better go talk to God because this is happening. No, we should be prepared for what's going to happen because we are consumed with the Word of God, right? I mean, is that not true? To be able to endure anything and everything that you will ever face in this life, the process, I might add, isn't easy. It's not. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror. Sometimes it's hard to get up out of bed in the morning. I get it. It's hard. Life is hard, my friends. And the process is not easy. But it could be through those trials and those tests that God's Word strengthens us and proves to us just how faithful God is. We put our faith and trust in a whole lot of things that we shouldn't be putting our faith and trust in. It says that God's Word is going to make us complete. God wants to make sure that you have everything that you need for your spiritual life. Church, God's Word is living and active, and God's Word is the answer to every spiritual condition that you will face. If we will allow the Word of God to judge us, you don't like that word, do you? You don't like to be judged. The Word of God will judge you. The Word of God will condemn you. Right? The Word of God will expose your heart. It will expose your heart, and it will not fail to go to the darkest, deepest, darkest places in your life and expose it so that you will acknowledge it. And so that you will inherit God's blessing. The Word of God is living and active. Which leads to my next thought. God's Word leads to an unshakable foundation. God's Word leads to an unshakable foundation. I want to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17 says this. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think this scripture is used by a lot of Christians in the wrong way. We apply it to the world. This scripture says nothing about the world. It's talking about you. Okay? So the Word of God, right? All Scripture is God-breathed. Okay, so let me ask you this. Anyone here want an unshakable foundation? I mean, our world just continues to get worse and worse, right? I'm having a lot of conversations today. There's a lot of anxiety out in our world. I mean, I would love to be able to tell you, sit here to you today and go, you know what, our world is just going to be rainbows and whatever they say. Unicorns, yeah, unicorns and rainbows. From this day forth, the reality is, my friends, this world is not predominantly going to get better. It is not. And I don't know about you, but I need an unshakable faith for what I believe I am going to have to be up against. The reality is, I believe that you want an unshakable foundation because that's why you're here. I really believe in my heart that is the reason you're here, because you want an unshakable foundation. Okay? And I believe that we're not just here checking off boxes. At least I hope you're not. Because look, checking off boxes doesn't mean anything to Jesus. It doesn't. Actually, checking off boxes, I believe, detests Jesus. He detests the idea. Right? Matthew 15, 8 and 9 says this. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, there's something there. Rules taught by men. Again, I ask you, why did you come this morning? Hopefully it was in a response to Jesus. And not thinking, well, you know, if I just check off this box, maybe he'll bless me this week. Because what's going to happen whenever this week doesn't go the way you think it should? Well, church doesn't work. That's what we say. Church doesn't work. It doesn't work. I showed up and he didn't bless me this week. Is that what church is? Shouldn't be. The biggest blessing that you have as you are obedient to God is the confidence that he is with you. That he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Even when life seems to be going straight down the tubes, there's one thing you can be confident of. When people fall away from you, when people don't show up, whenever they stop calling, whenever they stop sending you messages, God will be there. That I can guarantee you. Why? Because it's in his word. Because his word says so. See, church, when we claim to honor God while our hearts are far from him, the Bible says our worship means nothing. When we claim to honor God, but he isn't even a priority in our lives, our worship means nothing. Church, it is not enough to act religious. It is not. It drives me crazy whenever I talk to some. Yeah, my mom is a really religious woman. What the heck does that mean? No, really. There's been a lot of people who are religious in our world. They don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus and you have no hunger for his word, I would question your religion. It's not a judgment. It's a warning, maybe. You see, it is not enough to act religious. Our actions and our attitudes must be sincere. But not only that, Jesus is the only way. Amen? Jesus is the only truth, right? I mean, Jesus is the only life. And no one goes to the Father except through him, right? I mean, that's what God's word tells us. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Why is he not a priority in our lives? Why is his word not a priority in our lives? I believe we want to be able to live out this life here on earth in a way that pleases God, right? That's why we're here. I want to please God because I guarantee you one thing, because God's word also tells me, every single one of us will meet him face to face. Both the believer and the unbeliever will come face to face with Jesus Christ. And you will either be like, praise God, or you'll be like, oh crap. I missed it. I didn't make him a priority in my life because I don't know if I really even believed. I didn't make him a priority in my life because, well, I just thought it was about saying a prayer. I didn't know that I was supposed to read his word. I didn't know that I was supposed to be growing in my faith. I didn't know that I was supposed to be his hands and his feet while I'm here on earth. But I believe we want to please him. But how do we get there? I mean, how do we get to the place where we are not just going through the motions in our faith from time to time? Let's just be honest. Let's just be honest right here. We're all church family, right? There are times when we don't feel like none of this is working, right? There are times when we feel like none of this is working. I mean, there are seasons when we want to leave the church scene, right? We do. We want to leave the church scene. It's like, that guy, he just doesn't do anything for me. That's what I've heard before. Well, you know what, Pastor? I'm not going to be back anymore because I really think your sermons suck and you're not going to, you do nothing for me. No, seriously. And while it hurts for a moment, it causes me to pray for their heart. You see, we all have these seasons where we want to leave the church scene. We have seasons where we wonder if all this is real. There will be seasons when you start to question things. Is God really with me? Is God really fighting my battles? Can I tell you something this morning? When we begin to question things, that doesn't mean that you are less saved. It means that you are human. But how do we get through those seasons of life? We've all been there. We've all been there. We've all thought about throwing in the towel. How do I keep pressing on even when I don't feel God's presence? How do I press on when I feel like I just don't want to run this race of faith any longer? This, my friends, is where the unshakable foundation comes into play. I need you to listen to me. When you don't feel like God is with you, your marriage is falling apart. Your job isn't secure. The world in which you live is crumbling around you. Your kids are wayward. You overcome those thoughts of doubt through God's word. Hebrews 13:5b through 6. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Do you believe that this morning? If you believe that this morning, then you can go ahead and read the rest of the verses. So we say with confidence. Anybody got some confidence in Jesus this morning? Amen. Right? So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Do you have that confidence this morning? That no matter how life is going, I think a lot of times Christians are much like the Israelites of old. I mean, well, life isn't going very good. Well, I must not have God's favor. God must not be with me. I must be doing something wrong. It's a lie. That doesn't mean that maybe you are doing something wrong and you need to repent of it. But if you are like, man, I just don't understand. I'm putting God first in my life. I'm doing my best to follow hard after him in everything that I do. Why does he feel so far away? I'm telling you what, church, that's when you need God's word. You need God's promises that he is with you. He is with you when you're going through cancer. He is with you when your marriage is falling apart. He is with you when the job is going another direction and they say they don't need you. Oh, what am I going to do without this six-figure salary? You know what? You lean on God's word. Because God said he'll provide for your every need, right? I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I've seen people come into this church totally depleted because they've lost their jobs or whatever, and they don't know where to go, and we pray, and we seek God, and you know what? God opens another door. Because that is God's promise. In spite of the world in which we live, just because it doesn't look the way you think it should look, God is still God, and he is still moving in our lives, right? Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. If you believe that, then you say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Church, I believe we can find contentedness in every situation in life when we realize that no matter what is going on in our lives, God is enough for all our needs. The problem is we chase after the world because God isn't enough, right? If we're real honest. God's provision isn't enough. It's not enough. That's the reason why you need more money. That's the reason why we need bigger houses. That's the reason why we need more cars. No, God has already provided you with everything that you need. But it's not enough. Is God enough this morning? When you feel like you're being overlooked in this life, I want you to know that you are not being overlooked by God. Proverbs 5:21, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his path. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Church, while this can be a very scary verse, it should also be a reassuring verse, right? God sees everything. Psalm 56:8, record my lament, God. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Just so you understand, lament means a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. You know that song, he knows my name, he knows my every thought, he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I think a lot of times we think he just looks at us and he has to be disgusted. But God loves you. He does, he loves you. In your deepest sorrow, God cares for you. He loves you, and he always will. So how do we come to a place of having an unshakable faith? I want to give you one last thought this morning, because I truly believe in my heart that is what we all want. We want an unshakable faith that no matter what comes our way, I pray it all the time. God, I don't know what's going to come down, what's going to come in my life in the days ahead, but God, I want to glorify you in all that I do. I want to walk through whatever it is that I'm going to have to walk through, bringing glory to your name. And I believe that is every one of us this morning, which is the last thing I want you to write down, and that's this. Allow God's word to guide and direct your life. Church, we have the written word of God that we get to read and study. And what an awesome gift from God that he has given us. Amen? He has. He's given us in full detail his expectations of us, how to navigate through life's challenges, through the trials, through the tribulations. It is an awesome gift that we have been given. Why is it an awesome gift? Because the Bible is the divine source. All scripture is God-breathed. That's what it says. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that every word in this Bible, every single word in the Bible was given by God, inspired by God? What does it mean? It means that scripture, the Bible, isn't just human wisdom. It wasn't just written by human hands. It is God's own breath. God's word is divinely inspired, and it is essential for spiritual growth. If you're a Christian and you're hearing my words, daily time in the Word of God is essential for your spiritual growth. If you're not in the Word, if If you're not in the Word, I think it's time to get in the Word. It is important that we are in the Word, because we cannot grow in the Lord without the Word of God. You cannot do it. The Bible is also the inerrant truth. We live in a world where truth changes every election, right? In all honesty, the truth changes in our world pretty much daily. It does. We do not want to be like the shifting waves when it comes to God's Word. God's Word is pure. God's Word is purified by the Holy Spirit. And God's Word, hear me, God's Word is unchangeable. I've had people come through this church that tells me, what if God's writing a new Bible? It's time for you to go. No, seriously, it's time for you to go, right? Because the Word of God is the Word of God. And the Bible truly warns us about adding to and taking away from His Word. It's important that we understand that God's Word is the inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is unchangeable. That's the reason why we stand on the Word of God, and we do not bring in our own rules and laws into this church. That's the reason why we're non-denominational. Because we aren't interested in man's laws. We're interested in God's laws, in God's ways. Psalm 12:6, and the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay, purified seven times. I don't know about you, but sincerity and truth are extremely valuable, wouldn't you think? It's valuable in your marriages. It's valuable in your friendships. It's valuable in your jobs, where you work. Sincerity and truth are extremely valuable. Why is it so valuable? Well, as I thought about this, it's so valuable because it is so rare. It's so rare. There are a lot of people out in the world that are deceivers. They're liars. They're flatterers. They think that they will get what they want with their deception. Do you want to know of people when they speak this way, you got to line their words up with God's Word, God's truth. Psalm 119:160, all your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal. Church, God's Word lasts forever. And I'll leave you with this. The Bible is the practical purpose. You need to apply it to you. You want to know how to live out each and every thing? All you ever need to guide and direct your life is the Word of God. I'm serious. It says right here, what's it do? It teaches us, it rebukes us, it corrects us, and it trains us in righteousness. That's not for the world, that's for you, the Christian. That's what God's Word does in your life. It teaches you, it rebukes you, it corrects you, and it trains you up in righteousness. I'll leave you with a question. How do those things happen if you're not in God's Word? And I get it, because I've been there. Hey, what I don't know won't hurt me. That's not going to go very far with God. He has given us His Word to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct our path, and to train us in His righteousness. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your Word. I truly believe in all my heart that every single one of us, we're here today for Your Word and because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. God, help us. Help us to make you and your word a priority in our lives as we leave here today. God, I know sometimes it hurts and sometimes it's ugly to look into your word, but God, on the other side of the hurt and the ugliness is healing and freedom. And God, I can't help but believe every single one of us need that today. To know that we are standing on the sure foundation, to let your word guide us and direct us. God, come to us, consume us, and lead us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? You guys will all be surprised to know that Tracy has been here all morning, and she's downstairs teaching 1 week after she has had surgery. Yes, I told her she should stay home. She said, I'm not staying home. I got to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm like, okay. But hey, if you have a second, you might be able to say hi to her on your way out. We've appreciated your prayers. Her healing is coming along very well. And we know that that is because of the power of prayer and for the beauty of a church family that cares for our needs. So with that being said, may the Lord bless you as you leave here today. I pray that as you make him a priority in your life, that you will not be disappointed, because God has said, if you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, we conclude this service. Amen.